All right, well, in every endurance race, there comes this moment in your race that you just can't take it anymore. Everything inside you is telling you to quit, telling you to just shut her down, walk off the course. Your legs are shot, your breathing is labored, your gut is killing you, and I'll get to that. And everything inside you is telling you to just stop, to walk off the course, just quit. Don't do this anymore. So for me, this actually happened, if some of you guys know this, but I used to be big into the Ironman sports, specifically Ironman 70.3 was my specialty discipline that I loved. I've done probably more than a dozen of them. I loved it. It was my specialty, and I say my specialty because this is the kind of race that is long and grueling, but it's fast at the same time. You can get it done in 5 to 6 hours is the window. So it is a long race. It's like it's longer than a marathon, but yet a racer can feel like they're going fast. Unlike the full Ironman, that's twice the distance. That is all about settling into a pace and holding that pace, whereas I like to go fast, right? So I'm going to race this. So in 2022, I was racing in Galveston, and I ended up PRing, is what we call it, so personal record. I ended up PRing by 45 minutes from 21 to 22, and my coach was like, whoa. Like, I got really close to the top 10 of my age group, and so now my coach is like, man, we can make a run at the top 10. You might be able to qualify for Worlds that are in New Zealand. Who doesn't want to race in New Zealand? All I had to do was qualify in the top 10 of my age group, and to do that, I had to shave just under 15 minutes off of my time. I got a year to do it. We can do this, right? Like, just, I'm going to buckle down, I'm going to train hard for this year, and I'm going to come back in Galveston because Galveston's the flattest course on the circuit, and it's very fast, and I'm super excited about always doing that. And so we were locked in, and we were going to make a run at it. So the race begins, all right? And I'm coming out of the swim, out of the ocean, and I'm 4 minutes ahead of my previous year on the swim. And y'all, that's huge because I hate to swim. I'm awful at swimming, but I'm like, okay, like, this is going to happen. I'm already feeling like, man, this is going to be a strong race for me. So the bike begins. We got 56 miles ahead of us, 28 out and back. I'm gonna just go all out. I even upgraded my gear, upgraded my bike. Like, this is going to be the year. I saw, like, 2-minute improvement. No, like, this is not good. And unfortunately, there was a monster inside that would rear its ugly head going into the run that I did not see coming. And so I got 13 miles of run ahead of me that I knew, okay, if I can shave, you know, 30 seconds off of my previous, you know, per mile time on my previous year, we're going to be fine. And this shouldn't be a problem because, like, my half marathon times, like, I'm going to fly. This is going to be fine. So my first 3 miles, I'm coming in at a 7:30 pace, and I'm cruising, and I'm feeling so strong and so fast. And then something happened. By the time I reached the end of mile 3 through 5, I was experiencing excruciating pain. And the monster I talked about on the bike reared its ugly head. And what we found out was my system doesn't process simple sugars super easy. So I had overloaded on the bike unexpectedly on simple sugars that we thought we had trained for, but the amount that I put in, I overconsumed. And they're sitting in my gut, and I couldn't process them, and I couldn't get them into my muscles. I couldn't burn them the way they needed to be burned. And so they're sitting there. And so, which means my muscles have consumed everything that they had. Now they got nothing left. So I'm in gut distress. My legs are shot. And I'm watching through mile, you know, 4 and 5 and 6. As it's not only is it getting bad, as in, like, I may not be able to qualify, but now I'm slower than I was the year before. And the whole rails fall off for me. And I was crashing hard. And then the emotional toll sets in when you realize, not only am I not going to qualify, I'm going to be slower than what I was, total time. And that's when I see my wife at mile 6. I peel off the course, hunched over, doubled over, in excruciating pain, and the words come out, I'm done. I'm not going to do this anymore. I quit. So we can feel like that happens even in our journey of faith sometimes. Even in our walk that we go through, we reach that moment where it just feels like it's your breaking point, right? Races like the Ironman are not the workout that makes you strong. They reveal what's inside you. That's the test. It's not the place you go, you're like, you know what, I'm going to have a good workout today. so let's do an Ironman. No, you've been building up to that. This is the thing that's going to reveal what's inside you, right? The same is said for our walk and our faith. God does not waste pain, right? He doesn't waste these tests for us because they're meant to test you. It's meant to reveal something inside you. Is it faith or is it fear in you? Is it resolve or retreat? Is it God or is it yourself? Something's going to be revealed in everything that we encounter in life, and a man is called to endure the test. He's called to finish the race, and that's where we're going to be today. But the main question is like, okay, but why? What does that look like? So number one, there is a cause to endure. What's that cause? We're just going to own it. But looking in Genesis 39, this is where Joseph was. We're just going to grab a couple of verses, and starting in 13, it says this. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he's brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice." And then it goes on, then in verse 20, it says, "And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison." See, you got to remember that his brothers, I'm not going to capture all of Joseph's story. Hopefully y'all have read this before, but Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, right? So this wealthy man buys him out of slavery and is going to be a slave in his house, right? He buys him and he brings him into the household. And now here's this woman who is thinking, man, this Joseph guy is a good-looking guy. I want to lie with him, right? And so, of course, he's an honorable man. He's like, I'm not doing that. And so what does she do? She lies, right? And she convinces her husband. Husband's going to believe her because why would his wife lie? And so they throw him into prison, right? And so this is that injustice that even some of us can experience, right? We will face seasons in our life when we will feel like the victim. Like, how did I get here? Why did this happen to me? There are those moments, though, when we're paying for consequences. We're paying the consequences to decisions that we make, right? And we'll experience those moments. But in this circumstance with Joseph, he is the victim. But in both of these circumstances, the question that you have to ask yourself is, how will you respond to those circumstances? You can't always control the outcome of the situation, but you can control the response to the test that you're facing, whether it's facing the consequences or it's the injustice, right? And one thing is for certain, and this is what I want to make sure you guys, I drive this home to y'all. One thing is for certain, and Joseph is experiencing this, God's love for you is greater than you can ever fathom. God's plan is greater than you could ever understand. But that's going to be the test, is are you willing to admit that? Are you willing to step into that? Joseph knew that. So really, there's only one response when we're facing the middle of a test. What does Joseph do? That's what we can look at. Humility. It's humility. We belong to God, not man. Joseph saw that in himself. He's like, I know that I didn't deserve this, right? It would be a normal response for any one of us to go, what the hell, God? Like, why am I here? How did I end up in this situation? But he realizes, he's like, you know what? My life is in God's hands, not their hands, right? He knows that his identity and his life is rooted in God. And so he trusts that he's serving a good God that has a higher plan so he can humble himself before God. Humility is the anchor, men. That is the anchor for us. So number two, now we know that some of these causes can be my own decisions have been bad decisions, or they can just simply be an injustice that I'm experiencing in this world. That can be a cause for me to face a test. Number two, though, there's a reason to endure. What's the reason to endure? It reveals God and it brings life. Looking at Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he says, "But he said to me," this is Jesus now, Jesus' words, says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast," this is now Paul again, "I will boast all the more gladly to my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." The test itself is not the thing that gives you strength, men. It reveals what's inside you. So the question is it God? Is God what is going to be revealed in us when we're facing a test? Paul made it clear. When we face those tests and we humble ourselves, God's power is made perfect in our weakness. So then his grace is sufficient. Christ is revealed when a man endures with humility. Are we capable? Are we willing to do that? And then we go back to see what's going to happen. So now we know, okay, it's going to reveal God in me. If I humble myself in the circumstances, people will see God's power and he will get the glory, not myself, when I'm willing to endure with humility, okay? But what else does it do? This is the gift that God gives us because, again, his plan is greater than our own, right? Looking back at Joseph in chapter 50 of Genesis, starting in verse 19, but Joseph said to them, so now his brothers who sold him into slavery are now kneeling before him because Joseph is now number two in Egypt, the top guy, number two, running it all. And now they are bowed before him, basically begging for forgiveness. And what does Joseph say? Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? He's saying, I'm not God. Y'all thought you were in control, but you're not in control. God is in control. He's saying, so I'm not God. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Y'all, look at Joseph. When his decision to humble himself to God, to trust God through the test, it didn't just impact him, right? It brought life to a nation. It brought life to his family. It saved the family that rejected him. God's plan is so much greater than the test you're facing, that whatever it is that you're going through, a man endures, and not just for himself, but so that God gets the glory and life may be saved. Your endurance matters because your family is tied to it. I hope y'all know that. How you endure these tests is tied to your family. So own that. Step in that. Number three now, as we bring this home, how to endure. Now you're like, okay, Danny, where does the rubber meet the road? Like, what do I do about this? How do I endure? What are the things that I can do when I'm facing these tests that just hit me? It seems like every day I'm hit with something. How do I endure? Number one, fix yourself to Christ. Fix yourself to Christ. John 15:4 says, abide in me and I in you. This is Jesus saying, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. You have to be fixed on Christ. What does that look like? Guys, that's this right here. Are you reading this every day? Are you letting this absorb your very being? Because this is God's language, God's words to you, so that when you get kicked in the mouth or somewhere else it's going to hurt, does God's word give you the strength and the comfort to face whatever test you're going through? This is how you stay fixed on him. Reading the red letters, right? Lock those in, right? Number two, resolve. Don't negotiate. What do I mean by resolve? Meaning, make a decision, move forward, and then don't doubt yourself. Don't question, don't negotiate with your old self. That's the reason why it's an old self who should stay dead. Many of us get stuck in a rut, not because we're facing a test. We get stuck in a rut because we're negotiating with our old self. So come on. So don't negotiate with yourself. Move forward. James reminds us in this when he said, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. Make a decision, resolve to step forward, and move forward. Don't negotiate. Don't go back, okay? Number three, engage with your brothers. Engage. Step in it. Hebrews chapter 10 reminds us of this in verse 24. It said, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. You need your brothers, and they need you. You need me and I need you. You see how this works? We've got to constantly stay in connection with one another. You need this space. We all need this space. So we got to show up. We got to be present when we're here. We got to speak truth and receive truth, and we need to be encouraged. Our brothers empower us to endure. Amen? This room empowers me to be able to take the next test that comes tomorrow of my faith, of my resolve, right? When I got men around me who I know are just waiting for my phone call, they're waiting to check in with me, I'm waiting to check in with them, that's what lets me step forward. Just like when I hit mile six and I am doubled over, completely just done, and I'm ready to quit, and I've said the words, I'm done. I'm not gonna do this anymore. I can't feel my legs, my stomach is on fire. What does my wife say to me? She goes, you've never quit anything a day in your life. And you're not starting now. So you don't qualify. That's no longer the mission. It's about finishing. She spoke life to me in that moment. And she also kind of kicked me in the butt and said, get going. And so I'm like, well, okay, I'm going to get going. So that when I cross the finish line and I'm embracing my wife with, do we not have, where is it? There it is. Thank you. I couldn't see it back there. All right. So when I am embracing her, realizing that I'm filled with tears and with emotion, not because I qualified. I was 10 minutes slower than I was the year before, but I finished. I was able to push through that agonizing pain and just, again, I can't even probably get across how just sickening my system was in this moment. But that's when I realized that maybe the race wasn't for me. Maybe it wasn't about trying to qualify. What did God use in that moment? Look at those three little girls watching that. My dad took this picture. What they saw was a man who needed his wife, and they saw a father who was never going to quit. No matter how bad it got, I was never going to quit. I was broken, but I resolved to finish. Our families are watching, guys. Our brothers are watching. When a man endures with humility, he reveals the glory of God. He experiences the joy and endurance, and he brings life to his family. Let me pray for us. Y'all hold on to that. Lord, thank you so much for this time, and I thank you for this space, and I thank you for these men. Thank you for this word, and I pray that we would be able to walk out of this space in this moment feeling empowered, feeling equipped to be able to endure whatever this world throws at us, knowing that your power is made complete in us, and that in our weakness, you get all the glory. We are able to endure because you give us life. And through these tests, those around us experience life. So Father, we thank you for how you use us and how you move when we're willing to humble ourselves to that and let you work through us. Father, we love you, we trust you. Your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Go back to your tables.